In October 2012, AOL CEO Tim Armstrong was on stage in New York trying to persuade a skeptical interviewer, me, that AOL's network of hyperlocal news sites, Patch, would be profitable by now. The secret, he said, was the combination of intense interest in neighborhood goings-on and vibrant local economies, multiplied by nearly 1,000 communities.
If I told you your first day on planet Earth, local is probably a top five item in people's lives, and I gave you all the statistics about how big those commercial areas are, do you think over time that you could have a business that does $200,000 per town in revenue? I think over a period of time, the answer is, you know, yes.
Well, now Patch may be on the verge of being shut down, raising the question of whether a staff of one or two can sustain itself by covering neighborhood news. Buzz Machine blogger and professor Jeff Jarvis says not to worry. Hyperlocal has a case of the cooties, but no fatal disorder. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bob.
Cooties? What do you mean by cooties?
Like, ew, I don't want to touch that. I don't want any of that on me. And that's the problem when something like Patch gets in trouble. People are going to say, yeah, see, Hyperlocal never worked. But they're wrong. Hyperlocal's not dead. Patch didn't kill it.
Okay. Now, AOL cherry-picked its communities. And as Tim Armstrong said in the opening cut of tape, it cherry-picked them based on affluence, the advertising market conditions, and so on. And their costs were rock bottom. But in town after town, they just could not make the nut. Does that not frighten you?
No, because I think that Patch was really an old media company in its thinking, right? We're going to control this vertical. They vowed they would kill bloggers in town. We are going to sell advertising the way it's always been sold, space on a website. And I think that instead, the way that Hyperlocal is going to grow is that it's going to scale from the bottom up. Hyperlocal is about ma and pa operations in people who care about their towns, who want to contribute to their town, who want to bring things together. I'm doing a lot of work on the ecosystem in New Jersey, where we have 30, 40, 50 local blogs and various sites. And they're there for different reasons. They're different kinds of blogs. Some are video, some are for-profit, some are not-for-profit. And working with CUNY and Montclair State and WNYC and the Dodge Foundation, we've put together a support structure for these independent beings to be able to succeed better. A content sharing network, an audience sharing network. Soon, by God, I'm going to create an advertising sharing network, training for them, and other kinds of support. So that's how scale comes. You take these independent beasts and you put them together in a way that matters, rather than the Patch way, which was to say that we're going to control 1,000 towns like that overnight. That's not possible.
I want to ask you a question that has something to do with, I don't know, the laws of economics and something to do with the laws of physics. Can hyperlocals, considering the amount of money that you have to make just to keep the lights on, can they generate enough revenue without being staffed by essentially monks working for virtually nothing in order to do public service?
You have to be willing to eat ramen noodles a lot, yes, like any startup. It's hard work. But, you know, what I've learned, Bob, is that a beat can be a business. It no longer has to exist inside a bigger organization, and a beat can be self-sustaining, whether that's covering a town or a demographic or the FCC, for that matter. It's a tough business, but it's possible. We know this. 3 years ago at CUNY, we did research on the business modeling of the hyperlocal ecosystem, and we found local bloggers scattered around the country who were bringing in upwards of $250,000 a year. Hard work, scraping every dollar. This is Hamburger Hill you're going after, man. And it is possible to support them, but they need help. They need support. They need to be members of bigger networks. Now we're at the point where we're going to find scale in hyperlocal by enabling this.
All right, fair enough. But it seems like altogether what you're describing is more than just a case of cooties. You're describing a very fragile organism, a vulnerable newborn. How sanguine are you about the chances of that child growing and thriving?
I dare not predict, Bob, but I do see the means for this child to grow and survive. We're in the very beginnings here. What we're seeing is the replacement of a media industry controlled by vertically oriented companies that owned everything from idea to delivery. And it's now being replaced by an ecosystem of many independent players who operate under their own business models and means and who are each of them fragile, but who together can have a lot more strength and a lot more power than the old vertically integrated monopolies had. It's going to take time and effort to get there, and it's not going to happen on its own. I think that Patch executed badly in that it didn't get its model down before it multiplied its mistakes times 900. But in a sense, that's quibbling. Armstrong is still right. We in local communities, especially in America where we have local government, we need local information. I believe there's a market demand for it. And so people like me in universities, you in public media stations, we can do a lot. We who have resources and have some measure of power have to bring it to bear to help the little sprouts grow out of a fertilized field.
Well, we've exhausted our allotted metaphors in this conversation. Jeff, thanks so much.
Thank you.
City University of New York professor Jeff Jarvis blogs about media at buzzmachine.com.